Man, thank you all for being here. Good to be back with you. Last weekend, we had a wedding, and so I wasn't here on Sunday because Saturday was nuts. But one of the four is married off. We did it! Sonia Galen, we did it! Let's go! Really cool. Super thankful. Kevin preached an amazing sermon on the friends who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. And my favorite part of the whole story from Sunday is that we had a lady that gave her life to Christ. And she said, here's the story. Somebody from your church has been inviting me for 3 months. For 3 months, y'all, you lived out that story. You lived out that story. You cared about somebody that needed to be closer to Jesus, and just through constant invitation and prayer, man, we brought that person here. The Lord saved them. The Lord healed them. That is what it looks like to be the church. So keep it up, right? Keep it up. You guys are doing great. This morning, one of my favorite passages, we're in John chapter 3. Is it a familiar story? I think you're going to hear it from a different angle. So I'm in John chapter 3. If you grabbed one of these when you came in, it's going to be helpful. We're taking some notes, and that's going to matter. If not, we've got some digital notes right here. You can scan the QR code on the screen. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we are going to jump in. Father, thank you for loving us and allowing us to gather. Holy Spirit, every week we want to pause and ask you to come and take your place and fill our pulpit. You are the teacher of the church. Pray that you would teach us about Jesus from the inside out, that you would teach us why we need him, that you would help us understand if we have him, and if we don't, that we would cry out today. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm in John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, and the word of God says this. It says, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you do unless God were with him. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how can anyone be born again when he's old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is of flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Don't be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Well, how can these things be? Nicodemus asked. Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Jesus replied, truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify about what we've seen, but you don't accept our testimony. I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe. How will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Love that story. So let's talk about it. So Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Guys, a Pharisee is a teacher of the law. They're part of the ruling class of Israel. They tried to legislate the law. Their belief was that if we can live rightly and we can legislate it so that everyone else has to live a moral life, then God will have to come. But Nicodemus is here seeking out Jesus, not in the daytime, not where everyone can see him. No, he's seeking out Jesus at night under the cover of darkness because he has seen something in Jesus that stands out. He's heard something in the way that Jesus preaches and talks about the coming kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus is here because he wants what he sees and hears in Jesus. He wants in on this kingdom of God. And so he is here asking, what must I do, me, Nicodemus, me, a Pharisee, me, a moral teacher of the law, somebody that lives rightly and tells others, what must I do to enter this kingdom of God? And with that in mind, kind of ruminating in the back of your brain, I've got three things I want to share with you, because there are some massive truths that we miss when we study John chapter 3. So here's three things I want you to see this morning. This is the first. When it comes to the kingdom of God, our main problem isn't moral insufficiency. It's that we are spiritually dead. When it comes to the kingdom of God, our main problem is not moral insufficiency. It's that we are spiritually dead. Now, I don't want you to mishear me. We are morally insufficient, okay? The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says that no one is righteous, not even one. It says that all of our acts of righteousness are like filthy rags unto God. But that is not our biggest problem. Hear me again. Your moral insufficiency, your lack of goodness, is actually not your biggest problem. The biggest problem is that when Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world. Death, that's the biggest problem, right? The wages of sin is death. God said, if you eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, you will die. Now, think about that story with me. Remember, they did not die right away, but someone did. God had to take an innocent animal, and death entered the world. He killed that animal to cover their nakedness, their sin, and their shame. That's Genesis 3:21, by the way. I think it says 1:21 on the screen. I've been on DayQuil for 10 days. Okay? Just deal with it. 3:21, it's there. I've told you the correct one, right? Okay, write it down. So he covers their sin. But Adam and Eve, they didn't die that day. So when God says, if you eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, you'll surely die, he cannot be speaking of physical death, at least not immediate physical death. But what happened to them at the moment? They were cast out of the relational presence of God. And this is the God in whose nature they were created. They were made in his image, in his likeness. God, this God that we find out in John, is spirit, and his worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And so on that day, they are cast out of the presence of God. And theologians say something very significant happened. They say on that day, that portion of them that was made in the image of God, that spirit part died. They became spiritually dead. Y'all, that is significant. You see, if you talk to most people in the world, they believe their greatest problem is that they're not good enough for God. That is true, but that's not their greatest problem. See, Nicodemus shows up and he's seeking out Jesus, and Nicodemus believes that if he can just be moral enough, if he can be good enough, if he can make others be good enough, then he's in. He's saying, what do I have to do to get into the kingdom? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're actually asking the wrong question. Because your biggest problem is not your moral insufficiency. Your biggest problem, Nicodemus, is that you are spiritually dead. And so are all of us without Christ. Here's how this applies to us. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, this way death spread to all people because all sinned. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 2. He talks about how we're born into this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked across in the ways of the world according to the rule of the power of the air, the spirit now at work, and the disobedient. We all too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as were others also. Nicodemus comes to Jesus believing his greatest problem is his moral insufficiency. And Jesus says, no, Nicodemus, you have a much greater problem. It's that you're dead. You see, Nicodemus was a religious man. And what religion tries to do, this is what I need you to understand. Religion tries to tell a corpse laying on a slab, get up and clean your act up. Get up and make yourself better. Get up and get dressed. Get up and put on some makeup. Get up and change your behavior. And the problem is, we're dead. We're dead. You may look like a better corpse in the morgue, but you're still a corpse, my friends. Without Jesus, our greatest problem is not our moral failures. Our greatest problem is that without Christ, we are dead in our sins. We need a spiritual birth. So let's talk about that. Second thing I want to share with you. So he says, I want to enter the kingdom. He says, Nicodemus, your problem isn't your morality. Your problem is that you're spiritually dead. So how do we enter the kingdom? The only way to enter the kingdom of God is to be made alive through what? A spiritual rebirth. Through a spiritual rebirth. This is the point of John chapter 3, by the way. We tend to think John 3 is just about 16. For God so loved the world. The whole passage is about the fact that all of us, all of humanity, needs to be born again. This is the point of the passage. It's like if you want to see the kingdom of God, you need a spiritual rebirth. So how does Jesus respond to someone who thinks religion and moral sufficiency can save them? Because that's what's happening in our text. Nicodemus asks, what do I have to do to be a part of this kingdom? What do I have to do? And we know Jesus is speaking that, verse 3, because Nicodemus is speaking that because Jesus is truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again. Like, that's what Nicodemus wants. He wants to see the kingdom. He wants to be a part of the kingdom. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you stop relying on your morality, on your knowledge of Scripture. And by the way, listen, if Nicodemus were here, probably a better person than everyone in this room. I mean, morally, probably made more right decisions. I mean, this guy was buttoned up, y'all. I mean, if he were in our midst, I mean, he would never use the words that we use, would probably dress in a way that was, you know, the most modest, most acceptable. I mean, this guy walked in a room, we'd all be like, oh my gosh, that's such a good dude. And if he talked about the Old Testament, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this guy knows it all. He seems to have it all together, but he is here going, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus is like, none of that can fix the actual problem, because the problem is not your morality. The problem is that you're dead. And listen to me, he's saying clearly, the law can't fix your greatest problem. And the New Testament, Paul says the same thing in Galatians 3:21. He says, is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. But if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. He said, the law can't give life. Guys, if you pick up the Bible today and that's all you do, you leave here and you start reading the Bible, I honestly believe if you read the Bible every day, you'll be a better person. Just somebody without Christ can read the Bible, can apply what the Bible says, and you'll be a better person. But you could still be dead. You'd just be a better looking corpse than the rest of us. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, who is here honestly saying, what do I need to do to be saved? And he says, listen, your problem isn't your morality. It's not your knowledge. Your problem is that you are not alive. And Nicodemus, you have to be born again. So Nicodemus is like, okay, well, how does that happen? Now, he's still thinking in the flesh here. He's still thinking, what do I have to do? So verse 4, how can anyone be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's? He's like, what do I have to do? He's asking the same question. How do I do that? How am I born again? To which Jesus replies, 5 through 6, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Whatever's born of the flesh is of the flesh. Whatever's born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. And then he says, the Spirit, Nicodemus, is like the wind. We don't control that. You can't tell that where to go. God controls that. He's literally saying, God must do this for you, Nicodemus. You can't do this. Which then leaves Nicodemus and us with a really important question. Wait a second, so if you're telling me that my morality can't save me and that my knowledge of the law can't save me, if you're saying that's not my greatest problem, that the biggest problem is that I'm spiritually dead and I have to be born again, I need a spiritual rebirth, and I go, well, how do I do that? And he's like, well, you can't. God has to do that for you. Then, well, what is my responsibility in this? What is there anything I must do? And the answer is yes. That's our last point. We're born again when we look in faith to the Son of Man as the one who was lifted up to give us eternal life. We are born again when we look in faith to the Son of Man as the one who was lifted up to give us eternal life. So what's our responsibility? That's what Nicodemus is asking. came in saying, what work must I do to enter the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God? Jesus is like, your biggest problem isn't work, bro. It's that you're dead. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how do I do that? And he's like, well, you can't. God's got to do it for you. So he's like, well, what do I have to do? And so Jesus tells him, here's what you have to do. And he gives Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, an Old Testament story that Nicodemus would have been so familiar with because it was his man Moses. You may remember in the Old Testament, the Jews, they didn't enter the promised land when they were supposed to. And so for 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness and they're complaining the whole time. But God is so gracious. So he's supplying for their needs and he gives them manna. And it provides water, and there's even doves. But after a long time, they get tired of it. And so they begin to forsake what God has done for them. I'm not telling anybody's story right now, am I? They begin to forget how gracious God has been, and they begin to complain about the blessings that God has given them as if they don't have enough. I'm not speaking to you at Christmas time, am I? And so in their complaint against God, God allows that he brings judgment upon them, and these poisonous snakes come and they begin to bite them. And it doesn't matter how good their doctors are or how well they're taken care of. Once they're bitten, they will die. Doesn't matter what they do, they die. They've been bitten by a poisonous serpent and they are going to die. And so God says, Moses, I want you to do this. I want you to go cast a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and put that in the middle. And if they'll only look to the pole, then they will be saved. Now, there were some that said, that's foolish, Moses. I'm not going to look to a pole. I need a doctor. Moses, I need you to suck out the poison, Moses. I need you to do something for me, Moses. And guess what? They died in their own efforts, trying to do it their own way. But everyone that looked to that serpent that was lifted up in faith was saved. And here Jesus says, listen, just as that serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, must be lifted up. He's talking about the cross. Jesus is saying, I've come down from heaven to earth for a reason, and I've come that I might be nailed to a cross and raised up, where I will bear the burden of your sin, the penalty of your sin. I'll take it upon myself. And here's what you have to do to be born again. It's not about your knowledge. It's not about what you know. It's not about how good you are. Guys, listen, we've all been bitten by the serpent. His name's the devil, by the way. And we are all destined to die. And I don't care how much knowledge you have or how hard you try to suck out that poison. You cannot get it out. Jesus says the only way that you can be saved is if you look to the one that God has provided. He's saying, that's me. And I'm going to be lifted up and I'm going to die in your place. And if in faith you look to me, God will save you. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him won't perish. Won't die, even though they've been bitten. They'll receive eternal life, not by their works, not by their knowledge, by what I've done. Because in faith, they look to the one that was lifted up for them. You got it? That's a little different spin on John 3:16, right? That's the context of the story. That's the context of the story. So what do we do with that, guys? I think we might actually get out on time, which is nuts. Maybe not. Three things I want to share with you. I'm going to let you go. My challenge to you this morning. Number one, I want to challenge you to stop trying to clean up your corpse. I love you. I know what you think. I know that you think your biggest problem is that you're not good enough. I feel that. We're not good enough. We can't be. The problem is we've convinced ourselves that that's really the issue, and that is not the issue. Guys, it's part of the issue. God is indeed holy, and that is the standard to be accepted by him, is to be perfect. So yeah, that's part of the problem. But the bigger part of the problem is that we're dead. So you can take the book, and you can apply it, and you can try to make yourself better, and you can stop cussing, and you can stop drinking, and you can show up here every week, and you can try to be the best moral person you can be and still be dead. Because what you need is a spiritual rebirth. That's the biggest problem. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world. Spiritual death. That's why Jesus says to a pretty holy guy, in our eyes, he would have been holy. He says to a pretty righteous dude, even you, Nicodemus, have to be born again. I don't know about you, but I'm no Nicodemus. And God says the same thing to me. Yeah, you need to be born again. So we got to stop trying to put makeup on the corpse, okay? It all starts with Jesus. It all starts with putting our faith in him, which is the second point, guys. In faith, look to Jesus as Savior and be born again today. Somebody here today needed this message because you have been trying to do the first thing. You have been trying to just make a corpse better. That's religion, by the way. Religion doesn't work. It doesn't save you. That's what Jesus is clearly saying to Nicodemus. Hey, bro, that's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is that you need a spiritual rebirth. Somebody here this morning, you came for this reason, to hear those words, because that has never happened for you. And you wonder why your relationship with God has always been off. You've been trying, but it always seems like, man, I'm missing something. Seems like other people have something I don't have. They do. People that have truly found Jesus absolutely have something you don't have. They've been born of the Spirit of God. They have the Spirit of God living inside of them. They have been born again. They're a new creation. They still live in the old flesh. They'll still mess up. They're not perfect, but man, they have life. And you need to hear that today. That is your biggest issue. Your biggest issue is not whatever sin you're struggling with. I know that's what it feels like in the moment. Your biggest issue is that you need to be born again. You need to be brought to life. We'll deal with the rest of it afterwards, okay? That's where it starts. Last point, guys. Number three. We got to tell others the good news. And y'all, the good news, and again, I say this in love, the greatest need in the life of people around you is that they would be born again. You can look at all the symptoms, all the brokenness in their life, but a lot of times we try to fix people. We're like, well, if you do this, then you'll be, and we sound just like Nicodemus. Like, if you'll just fix this, and you'll do this, it's like, no, man, you know where it's got to start? Your biggest problem isn't that your marriage is struggling. Yes, your marriage is struggling. Your biggest problem isn't that you're addicted to pornography. Okay, you're addicted to pornography. Your biggest problem isn't that you're a liar. Yeah, you're a liar. Your biggest problem isn't that you constantly judge people. Yes, you're judgmental. But your biggest problem is that you are dead. You're spiritually dead. And that's why Jesus came. To bring you back to life. That's what you need first and foremost. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. You need to be born again. I pray today that would happen for you, but I also pray today for those of you that are constantly out. This is why we invite people in. We're inviting them to spiritual rebirth. That's what they need more than anything else, all right? Church, do this with me. If you don't mind, bow your heads. Let's pray this morning that we might receive the word of God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, in this room, in our hearts. Change us from the inside out. Make us yours. Don't freak out. The lights are going to dim here for a second. We're just going to ask everyone to keep their head bowed and their eyes closed. We're asking the Spirit to move, even in our midst this morning, because we believe that we're all here for a purpose. So I just want to ask an honest question this morning. How many of you know today that what you've been trying to do in your life is clean up a corpse? You know today that you've tried what we call religion, but you have never asked God to make you new. But today you heard that is your biggest issue. You've got to be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. If you're here today and those words are resonating in your heart, and here's how you know it, your heart's beating pretty fast right now. You're feeling like somebody's tugging on your chest a little bit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm talking to you. This message is for you. You're probably thinking, how did he know I came to church today? Feel like he's talking just to me? No, that's the Holy Spirit at work. If you're here today and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've never looked to him as Savior and Lord, and today you know you need to be born again, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. But just say, yeah, that's me. I've never been born again. I've never been born of the Spirit of God. Raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Man, never been born again.
Okay. Just raise your hand. Yeah. So, man, I want to put my faith and trust in Christ today. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer. But it's just, we're going to give God control. We're going to say, Jesus, I am looking to you. I realize today my greatest problem isn't what I'm struggling with. My greatest problem is that I need Jesus to take control of my life. And so here's this simple prayer we pray. We'll pray it out loud just so you don't feel awkward. Just pray with me. Dear God, I come to you right now. Just confess that I need you, Jesus. I've been trying to make myself good enough. And I'm failing. I need you to make me new. Come into my life and make me a child of God today. Let today be the day that I'm born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.